Luke chapter 12, and if you'd read with me, let's just begin with the first five or six verses. It says, in the meantime. Now, the meantime is this controversy that's been going on with the Pharisees, the scribes, these rulers. So they're in conflict, and Jesus goes right after them, and he accuses them of their hypocrisy. He gives them all the woes. While that's going on, it says in verse number one that there was gathered an innumerable multitude of people. So this is a mob scene. This is a crowded scene that's taking place. And so this isn't a calm, orderly, sit down, have a lesson time. This is Jesus talking to the disciples in the midst of all this hustle and bustle. And so here's what happens. Insomuch that they trod one upon another, he began to say to his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the, what's it say? What's he tell them? Yeah, the leaven of the Pharisees. He says there's something very small that is characteristic of these Pharisees. It's a very small thing, but it can creep into our lives, and it can, just like yeast, a small amount of yeast makes a large loaf, this very little bit, this thing that's common among the Pharisees can ruin our lives, ruin our churches, tear us apart, and that leaven is the leaven of what? Hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. So, verse 2, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known, that whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear and closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetop. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do, but I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for two farthings? And not one of them is forgotten before God. But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Let's pray. Lord, we ask that you'd help us this morning as we study this together. Help our minds and hearts to be engaged. Help us to grow. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Turn your page over, well, or if you look at the bottom of your notes, the key concept today, I'm sorry, I jumped the gun, but the key concept today, I just want to talk some more about sincere Christian living. The word sincerity comes up several times throughout the New Testament. Even in the Old Testament, the idea of sincerity is there. If you could give me, if somebody could help me out with some real simple definition or explanation of what it means to be sincere, how would you describe a sincere person? Honest, okay, an honest person, yep. Real, I like that. Just be real, right? What else would make somebody sincere? Forthright, something else. Genuine, these are great synonyms for this. Something else, sincerity. Okay, those are all really good. I've always appreciated people, and one thing I appreciate about New Englanders for the most part is that statement that you've heard before, what you see is what you get. And I appreciate that about people, don't you? I mean, look, if I just want to know where we stand, you and me, right? Just tell me. You didn't like what I said? Just tell me, right? Let's be real. Let's be open. Let's be genuine about this. And because of that, sometimes we Northeasterners get a rap for being a little rude to other parts of the country, but what do they know? Okay, some of you catch that, right? But that straightforward forthrightness, I remember going to college in the South, and it was like, you know, shocking to some people, you know? It's like, they're like, whoa, you know, what's wrong, man? It's like nothing. This is how we talk to each other, you know? Frank, you're going to illuminate. Oh, boy. Bless your heart, usually. Yeah. Well, Brother Randy Davis is with us. And Brother Randy Davis, if you don't know him, you've known him for years. He's an evangelist based out of Mountain View Baptist Church in Holyoke. And we're glad to have you with us today. Now, you're a Georgia boy originally, right? Was there any culture shock when you first moved up here many years ago? Yeah. Too outgoing to it. Right. Exactly. So anyway, I say all that to say one thing that I do appreciate about living up here is people tend to be pretty straightforward. For the most part, sincere. Though insincerity does creep into our lives. And I was reminded of this passage of Scripture. Now you can turn over. I just would like you to think about 1 Timothy 1:5. This is the Lord's command to us. 1 Timothy 1:5. Now the end of the commandment, now the end doesn't mean the last thing I'm going to say, but what it means here is the purpose, the reason to what end am I saying this, Paul writes. The end of the commandment, the fulfillment of the commandment is charity, which is love, it means love, out of a what? A pure heart. And of a good conscience. So in other words, I have purity of my heart, my conscience is clear, so I know there's no ulterior motive in there. And finally, and of faith, that it would be what? Unfeigned. In other words, not fake, but genuine and real. Jesus says here in Luke chapter 12, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Remember, just a little bit of hypocrisy in your life can ruin all kinds of things. A little bit of hypocrisy in a church can bring disunity. It can bring corruption. We've got to be, he says, beware, be on guard against it, which does indicate that it's going to creep in. Now, how many of you have ever been guilty of hypocrisy? Please raise your hand if you've ever been a hypocrite. Okay. we're hypocrites. I mean, we do this. This is what we do. If you were to examine my life and compare it to every thing I have ever said from behind the pulpit or here, if you were to compare my life to every single thing I've ever said, you could find places in my life and you could point at me and you could say, hypocrite. Right? Now, I'm just going to hope that you're not going to do that to me, because then I would, you know, with what judgment you meet, it shall be judged to you again, okay? I'll apply the same thing to your life, okay? But we're not going to do that to each other. Nonetheless, I hope it would be said. I hope it would be said, or that it would not be said, that my life was characterized by hypocrisy. You understand the difference there, what I'm talking about? Is that hypocrisy will creep up. Whenever it creeps up, we've got to beware. We've got to crush its ugly head. But realizing that we are all susceptible to hypocrisy, and we have all been hypocrites at different points of time. And we know the destruction. We know the destruction that hypocrisy has on us when it's revealed in the life of someone else. So, hopefully when we go through this lesson together now, in the minutes that we have left, I'm hoping that in your mind, you're not thinking of somebody who is a hypocrite. You know what I mean? I hope you're not in your mind thinking, oh yeah, let's talk about all this. Yep, that person, they're a hypocrite. I hope that's not happening. I hope what we actually do as we study this passage is say, ooh, yeah, there's some hypocrisy there in my life. Or, oh, I should watch out for that hypocrisy. Jesus says, look at the Pharisees. And last week in this class, we talked about the dangerous trap of Phariseeism. This week, I want to talk really about sincerity and how it plays out in our lives, how we can be more sincere and let the grace of God accomplish that in our lives. Are you with me? All right, so here we go. First of all, do you remember what I mentioned in the message last week, that the root word for hypocrisy, where it comes from? Who remembers that? What was, when the Bible was written in the Greek language of the New Testament, what was a hypocrite? An actor. A hypocrite was an actor. So you'd literally go down to the amphitheater and you'd watch the hypocrites on display there. And I said last week, oh, what a great hypocrite you are. They probably had awards for the greatest hypocrite. I don't know if they had Golden Globes or anything like that back then, but nonetheless, they had their hypocrites. And then it came to be associated with wearing a mask. Do you remember that now? Just nod your head. Even pretend. Even if you're faking it, be a hypocritical this morning. Be like, yeah, man, I know what you're talking about. I was with you. I'm with you. Okay? So they would wear a mask. So they didn't have all the wardrobe things. They would have a simple mask that they would put on their face, and they would act out a part with the mask on their face. And so an actor or a hypocrite was the one who wore the mask. So the simple point in the message, and I'm going to ask you to work through this a little bit with me this morning, is this. Would you help me, and could I help you this morning, maybe take some of the masks off of our life? Right? You know what I'm talking about? Why do we wear masks in our life? Why do we wear masks? Okay, I'll agree with that. For perception's sake, you want people to think highly of you. Why else do we wear masks? Protection. Yeah, that's another big one. Because if I was exposed, if I'm exposed, I might not be accepted. There's a fear, and this should not be true among the body of Christ, but there's a fear that if I were really honest with people about who I was, then they wouldn't accept me. So people will wear a mask for that reason. Or they want to impress people. They'll wear a mask for that. Did you have something, Alicia? They're ashamed, yeah. And that goes with the acceptance thing. There's something in their past that they've got to hide. Yes? Two-face. Right? Exactly. The public and the private. You got something? So, oh, we're not going there right now. We're going to move right along right now. So, hypocrisy. Bill, that's exactly what I said we're not doing. We're not looking at other hypocrites today. We're looking at our hypocrisy, okay? So, why we wear masks is for all of these reasons. We want to protect ourselves. We want other people to think something of us. Maybe there's shame or regret in our past, and we don't want people to know that. So we wear these masks, but these masks are hypocrisy. So, two reasons, and I jotted this down. If you want to take some notes today, these are just some of my thoughts on this, and you've given me some great thoughts as well. We wear a mask, and when we wear a mask, those are reasons or motivations, but how we do it is when we wear a mask, we're either pretending to be something we're not, right? That's one form of hypocrisy, to pretend to be something we're not, or we use a mask to cover something. So either pretending or covering. So when I wear one mask, it's not even true. I just want people to think it. Or we could take one specific strength in our life, and we could make that the mask that covers all of our deficiencies. You understand what I'm saying? The little bit of a difference there? So the whole idea of putting your best foot forward, but really it's hypocrisy. I only will let people see the part of me that I want them to see, and that becomes my mask. So with that in mind, what are some masks that we wear? What are some masks that we wear? Somebody help me out here. I'll give you the first one, and it's the Pharisee mask. And I'm not. You don't have to give me. I have these in little categories, and I'm not looking for that. That's just how I think. But the first one I thought of was like the spirituality mask. That's the person who, in the church, wants everybody to be impressed with how much knowledge they have about the Bible or how spiritual they are. And that mask covers for the deficiencies of our heart. So in our heart, we may be far from God, far away, but as long as we can quote the Bible verses or say amen in the church or do any of those kinds of things, as long as we can do any of that, it covers up other areas that we don't want to deal with. Now this, I've observed in my own life, and I've observed in the lives of other people. I've known people that can quote all kinds of scripture, educated, know a lot about the Bible, but inside there's a lot of things that they just don't want to deal with. If that's you this morning, that's a really dangerous place to be in. Because the more you know about the scripture, the more accountable you have to be, you are to God. Jesus said to the disciples, to whom much is given, much is required. I would much rather be someone who's a brand new Christian with sin in my life that everybody knows about, that I'm working on, than somebody who's been a Christian for years who has hidden and buried sin in my life. That is a much more dangerous place to be in. Clean up on the outside, but dirty on the inside. And that's a mask of a phony spirituality mask, Bible knowledge mask. Frank, did you have something you wanted to say with that? Or add, or something different? You forgot or whatever? Covered. I covered it. Okay, so there's the spirituality mask. What's another mask that we can wear in our lives? Yes, Trina. Yeah, so success. If you'd let me take that in another direction, I had like the like an activity mask almost. Like, this is what I've done, this is what I've accomplished. And there are people that, some people just fake it, right? Like, they don't have all the stuff. They just pretend that they're something that they're not. But others, sometimes we point to accomplishments in our life or work that we do, be it spiritual, secular, work, profession, busyness, activity. And we take all of that and we say, this is what I want people to see. Look how busy I am. Look how effective I am. Look how much money I've earned. Look at what I've done. And as long as that looks good, then really the nature of who I am isn't as important. So these are masks. What's another mask that people wear, that we can sometimes wear? Yes, Dennis. Sure. Yeah. It's you have a perception of what you want people to see, and so you'll act out in a certain way. So they never really see the real you. How about the perfectionism mask? Right? You know what I'm talking about there? These are perfect families, perfect jobs, perfect vacations, perfect this. This is the Facebook mask, okay? The Instagram mask. This is the my life is so wonderful. Friend of mine posted, because everybody's got a different sphere of friends or whatever, and I have a lot of ministry friends from around the country on Facebook or Twitter or whatever, and everybody posts all the great things that happened, and they should. That's encouraging. So Sunday night, if I'm scrolling through my feed, I'm seeing, you know, people were saved in churches, people were baptized, this happened, that happened. And so one of my friends posted like a couple weeks ago, he's like, two families moved away this week. You know, offerings were super low. Just being real, this is what's going on. We're so hesitant to do that, aren't we? We want people to think that we have it together. Honestly, it's a reason a lot of people from the outside don't want to come into the church sometimes. Because the church is for the perfect people, right? The well-dressed people, the people who are, they've got their lives together. And how many people have encountered whose mentality is, well, you know, I couldn't go there. I'm not like those people there. And it's like, boy, you have no idea, really. You just get to know us a little bit and you'll fit right in, okay? Fit right in. But just that I've got to wear the perfect mask. My life has to be right. My kids have to be perfect. All of this. It's pressure that people put on to wear this kind of a mask. What's another mask that we wear? Somebody else? Think of any others? Frank? Deceit? Well, that's, yeah, just straight up not being honest with people. And, yeah, that's a big danger. Somebody else, a mask. Come on, I was hoping to get two cups of coffee, or sips of coffee on that one. Yes, Dad's got one back there, my dear. Hey, that's on my list, and we didn't get to it yet. It's the happiness mask that hey, life is great. You know, you ought to be able... Now, if I shake your hand, hey, how's it going this morning? I mean, probably in that moment, I don't want your whole life story and the tragedy that befell you this week, right, Ms. Thompson? That's not what we're going for. However, in a church, it should be okay for somebody to honestly say, hey, I've actually been struggling this week. I'd appreciate you to pray for me. We ought to be able to say that to one another and not have to pretend that, hey, everything's perfect with me. Happy here, happy there. And that mask is sad because you put that happy mask on and you're shutting yourself out to anyone who can really help you. What's another mask that people wear? Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, so there's this, that's a really good point. We have to be sensitive to not, don't get all proud back there, you know what I mean? Great point, Dad. Yeah, it was wonderful. So, did I ever tell you about the power trip mask out there? No. So anyway, no, but what he said was good because what happens is we have to respect that people are private, right? Like, there's this, the church is a family, but somebody may have developed a closer relationship with you and they don't necessarily, they know, they trust you to pray for them, but they don't know everybody yet. So what's said to you in confidence needs to be kept in confidence, okay? Obviously, and I always, in this day and age, you've always got to have a disclaimer. If there's any illegality or something done like that, then those aren't things we keep in confidence. You see all the scandals in churches and organizations. Any breaking of the law is to be made public immediately to authorities. So just going on record there. Mrs. Bailey, another mask or a comment on that? The confident mask. What do you mean by that? Oh, yeah. And then you're a gossip. Right, that's a good point. Yeah. Somebody else had something? Did I see a hand? Yeah, so what'll happen is you'll find, people find ways to hide all of that. So that's a really good point. So let's say somebody struggles with anger or lashing out. You come to church and you know, well, I can't do that in front of these people. What will they think of me, right? So maybe then that person goes home to their family. So the church sees somebody who has it all together, and then who do the kids see at home? Somebody that flies off the handle. So how do you deal with things like that? Well, you've got to be part of the body of Christ, and you've got to open up to somebody. You don't necessarily need to air your dirty laundry in public, but be it a pastor or a Christian brother or a Christian sister, you just say, listen, I'm really struggling with this. Can you help me? Can you show me something from the Bible? This is how a church is supposed to work, because listen, this is the point. There's none of us that aren't, as I said at the beginning, none of us aren't guilty of some hypocrisy at some point in our life. We are here to the Bible says in Hebrews, one of the reasons we assemble is not just to hear a sermon or a lecture. He says that to assemble so much more as you see the day approaching, to provoke one another to love and good works. Part of the reason we gather is not just so you can hear from me or hear from my dad or sing the songs. It's so you can minister to you and you can minister to you. You know what I'm saying? That's why we have Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, more opportunities for us to come together. So these are masks that we wear. Another one I thought of is the struggling mask. That's the person who's always all the opposite now of the happy mask. It's the woe is me mask. I want your pity. I want your attention because life is a struggle for me. Life is so hard for me. Well, it's hard for me too, all right? You know, it's hard for all of us. We've got to be able to be real with our struggles, but not then use them as, see how complicated this can get? Man, you're like, why is it complicated? Because we are sinners. And sin is far-reaching, and it's not all on the outside. Sin affects us on the inside, and it's far-reaching consequences. Brother Davis, you had something else? That's right. Yep. Right. That's absolutely right.
Yeah. Masks are. There's a time where, in this day and age, people say, well, I'm not going to be a hypocrite, so then I can try to fix it.
Oh, that's a good point.
You know what I mean?
So if I could.
What I'm saying is that, to me, the hypocrite is when you hold everybody else to a standard,
right.
But not really yourself, then stop. You know?
That's a good point. Right.
But then you go to work and you do because it's all around you, but you still know it's wrong and you're trying to fix it. I don't want that person to say, well, I'm not going to go to church because I don't want to be a hypocrite.
Right. There are people like that that say, if I could just sum up what Charlie said a little bit, is that, well, my life, I don't live right. I curse. I do this wrong thing. I do that wrong thing. I do all these bad things, so I'm not even going to go to church because I would feel like a hypocrite if I went. I've actually had people say that to me. Well, I'd feel like a hypocrite if I went to church because I don't live that way outside of the world. That's okay. It's not okay to do those things, but what I'm saying is it's okay to come to church as long as you don't come to church pretending to be somebody you're not. This is a church where it's okay for people to come who are working on those issues in their life. But then also people can have a defeatist mentality that says, well, I'll never be good. Well, no, you never will be good, but God can create holiness in you. It's not up to you. It's about Him to do it in you. So sometimes those people are using that as an excuse because they know God wants to change things in their life, but they just say, no, I'll stay away from that because I would be a hypocrite. So there's the non-hypocrite, I don't know what how you'd put that. Somebody else, one more. Yeah. Yeah, with hypocrites, that's pretty good. Yeah, you could. They're everywhere. So, Trina, do you have something? Yeah? Yeah. Some people will put masks like that up of negativity just to keep people out of their life. Like, this is me, just stay away. And maybe there's past hurt or pain or something they're dealing with, but they put up big walls and they keep people out. Frank? Repent. That's good. Amen. Close the book on that. I like it. But he's right. It starts with, Tony's right, it starts with repentance. It's looking internally and saying, this is a sin of my heart, God. And if I turn my affection to you, well, the second point here, where I wasn't sure how to put it, I'm going to say live boldly or live out in the open. I've heard, I don't know where it is, it's a popular saying, I don't know if it's a song or something, but live out loud. You know, live your life out so people can see it. Be real. Be real. So, if you look at verse number 3 of chapter 12, and you guys were great with this discussion today. We're going to run out of time. So, but look at verse number 3 in Luke chapter 12 here. Well, you got to start at verse number 2. So he says, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in closet shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. The first part of verse number 2, I got this. Okay, I understood that. Verse 3 I had a hard time with. So verse number 2, basically, you know, these Pharisees are hypocrites. Here they are living their life outwardly one way, but inwardly another way. Guess what? God knows what's in the heart. There's not a single thing that you do in secret that won't be revealed. The Bible talks, especially for Christians, we don't have time to turn there, but I had 1 Corinthians chapter 3 up in the first point. That's the judgment seat of Christ. That's the day when after we die, we stand before God and we are saved, but all of our works pass before the fire. To see, well, what was the motive behind this? What was this really all about? Everything will be made manifest. But I didn't quite understand verse number 3. I had to look at the parallel passage in Matthew, so quickly turn to Matthew 10. This helped me out when I saw how Matthew explained what Jesus said. So again, for those of you who are newer to Bible study, a lot of the passages that you see in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they're the same accounts, but told from one of the other disciples' perspectives. So we're looking at a similar or the same account in Matthew chapter number 10. And look at verse number 26. In the same discussion, notice what's pointed out here. Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed and hid that shall not be known. But now look how this statement to the disciples is in the next verse. Jesus says, what I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. And what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. This is another spin on how a Christian could be a hypocrite. What he says here is live your life out loud. Live your life boldly. In other words, it's dangerous for us to be loud in the church house and then quiet in the world. You know what I'm saying? So we can come to church and we can, in the safe walls of this building here, and they should be safe, right? This should be a safe place. But we can come in the safety here, we can study the Bible, we can learn the truth, but then when we step outside the walls of the building, we don't stop being the church, right? So when we walk outside of the building, whatever we've heard here in the quiet, and in our Bible study together, this is what God said. When we walk into the world, we should live that out actively. Faith without works is dead, James says. If you are a hearer of the word, but not a doer of the word, James warns us about. So one of the steps to being sincere is, I mean, I don't really think it's that complicated. You repent, like Tony said, and then you just live out the truth. You just make a conscious effort, realizing you're never going to be perfect, and always analyzing and always letting the Holy Spirit shine light in our lives. We're just making a decision that says, you know what? I'm going to be sincere. I'm going to be consistent because Jesus Christ has given me that power. He can live that out through me. It's just another part of Spirit-filled living. It's another aspect that says, God, I've been a hypocrite. Every one of us could identify areas in our life right now where you could say, God, I've been a hypocrite. And on my own, I will just continue to be a hypocrite. I'm going to trust and believe your power to work sincerity in my life. It's always got to be His power through us. If you're like, hey, what's the 5-step recipe for not being a hypocrite? Don't have one for you. I don't have 3 easy steps to not be a hypocrite. The Bible answer is always the same. It's to rely on the power of the gospel. Jesus died for you. He rose again for you. And His grace will empower you to walk in the Spirit. There's no formula. There's no magic recipe. It's simply, I'm going to live honestly before God, and I'm going to let His power walk through. Because Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, if you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. So as we walk close to Jesus Christ in the Word of God, letting it shine on areas of our life, and then some simple things, we can learn to live honestly and openly with each other. Honest before God and honest before other people. And just letting Him transform us regularly. I think the biggest thing is simply what Jesus says. Beware. Be on guard. Be aware that this is going to be present in your life and you need to let the Holy Spirit root it out. Any other comments or questions or concerns about this that haven't been raised today? Yes. That's really good. So we take the mask off and he says, put on Christ. Put on Christ. Those are great verses. Thank you for sharing those. Yeah. Right.
If I stop caring about what people think of me and all I care about is what he thinks of me,
right.
Just that change in mindset will prevent a lot of conflict.
Absolutely. In fact, the book of Proverbs says that the fear of man brings a snare or a trap. As soon as we start to fear men more than we fear God, and that is where, and I didn't have time to discuss it this morning, but we did last week in the sermon, that's why the last point here is find freedom from fear. Find freedom from fear. Do you remember what he said? He later says, don't be afraid of people who can kill your body and then they can't do anything else. Like, hey, the worst they can do is kill you. I love the, I know I did it last week, but I love the irony there, or the humor there. I said, what's the worst they can do? Just kill you. But do we really believe the gospel? Do we really believe that this life is just a tiny blip, and eternity is what we're created for? He says, these Pharisees, they're going to come up against you. They're going to threaten you. They're going to do all of that. Don't fear them. Fear God. Fear God. And if you remember, the whole point is, first we're told in this passage to fear God. It's like, whoa, fear God. How does that free me from fear? When you realize that the God who we should fear has now told us, you don't have to approach me in fear, but I know the very number of hairs on your head. I know everything about you. I care about the sparrow. I'm the awesome, all-powerful God who you should come to with fear and trembling, but you don't have to because of Jesus. You can come in love and acceptance. Because it does, to just finish up with what Jessica said, it doesn't matter what the church thinks of you. It doesn't matter what your family thinks of you. None of that matters. The only thing that matters is what Jesus Christ thinks of you. And he's already told you what he thinks of you. He accepts you, he loves you, he forgives you, and he wants to accomplish his transformation in you. We just have to decide, will we let him? Or will we work on these masks and put them on? Or will we let that sincerity come out in our life? All right. Yeah, if you read the... Right. While we were hypocrites... In our hypocrisy, his love is still unconditional. And that's, I'm out of time. We got to end. More hands are going up, but I've got to end. And it was sort of great Bible study this morning. Thank you, everybody. Let's do it again next week. Let's pray. Lord, we love you and thank you for just the fellowship and the friendship that we have because of you. Lord, probably almost none of us would be friends if it weren't for the fact that you've brought our lives together in the gospel. And that's such a wonderful thing. We thank you for the bond and the love that we have through Christ. So bless this church and help. I pray for anybody in here that may feel on the outside that, Lord, they would soon come to realize that they are loved and accepted here, but ultimately that they are loved and accepted by you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we've got about